back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. Today we're on episode number 36, and we're going to be talking about Ephesians 2:10, which is a really wonderful verse about we are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus. And so I'm excited to deep dive into that. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nuremberg. And before we jump into our podcast today, one announcement, and that is if you have questions, comments, or topic that you want us to cover in this podcast, you can always go to eibibleschool.org/Christian Life Podcast, and you can leave a comment there. There's like a little box, and you can also listen to all of our previous episodes. Hearing from you. So let's jump into our passage today. We don't always do a passage, but this is such a good verse. Amen. And I think that this verse, I'll just read it first, and then kind of give it context, and then it kind of walks us through the verse itself. So we'll just kind of follow it and comment and have a discussion about it. So the verse is Ephesians 2:10, and it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So to set kind of the context, can you give us that context of, because it comes at the end of the passage, Ephesians 2, that kind of section. So can you give us the context of this passage and what Paul is really communicating to us?
Okay, let's look at the big context first. Yeah. Okay, the big context is in the early chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul's speaking about how great God's love is towards his people. And so you have that long section, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So he goes through those blessings, how much God has loved us, how he has taken care of us. Then Paul prays, and in that prayer, he's asking God will give us insight into what he has done. So Paul is doing that. And there are three parts to that that I think are important, that he says that we might know what is the hope of his calling and what our inheritance is. And then finally says this, and we might understand the greatness of his power towards us, right? That how powerfully God has worked on our behalf. And he says that's in accordance with what he did in the Lord when he died and rose again. Okay, so that's first chapter. Then he's describing here the greatness of his power towards us, his love for us. And the heart of that is that we were hopeless and he came and got us. All right. And that's the picture you have here. So that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we were opposing God, and there wasn't any way out of it. We didn't want out of it, and but there was no way out anyway. But God came and got us. That's the display of the love of God, that he came and got us. He came and got us by making the sacrifice in the Lord, but then coming down to each one of us individually and seeking us out. But his emphasis is on the fact that you're not in this because you chose particularly here. That's in this section. But because God came and chose you. All right. And so he's been finishing that by grace you say, through faith, that not of yourselves. And that's when he comes to this verse. He says, that's all true, that you didn't, this isn't from you, it's from God. Mm-hmm. And then the beauty of this whole thing, for those that are such a mess, that's where the first three verses, it's all about how bad we were. Now he says, in Christ, for we are his workmanship. So that's where you come up to. This is, now God has done something. And that's where he's picking up the workmanship idea.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, in the Net Bible, it says, it kind of titles each of those sections.
Right.
And it says, like, new life individually is, like, this section, which I think is a good summary of, like, what Paul is saying.
Right, yeah.
And you jump into verse 10, for we are his, in the Net Bible, it says, for we are his creative work or his workmanship.
Right.
Different ways to go about saying that. And that word workmanship, we're going to talk about it, I think, probably a lot, because it's kind of a key concept to this whole verse. It is where we get our word poem from in the English language. And in Greek, it's like poema. I can't even say it. I took Greek. Anyways, but the whole concept is that there's an artistic side to it.
Right.
That we're more than just like something that God formed. There you are.
Yeah.
It's like there's a story to it.
Right.
And so how do we view that concept of workmanship? How should we view that in our lives? Because it's talking about us as Christians. We are God's workmanship.
Right. Well, that word that you're using, that is the kind of the key here. And it's the beauty of this particular section is that we are his workmanship. He only uses, as we were thinking about just a moment ago, it's only used twice in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And it's not only the idea of doing something, of working to accomplish something, it's working on something in a creative way so that you're designing so it represents something. You know, so that like you paint a picture. Yeah. Or you take a photograph, but you're not just taking a photograph. You're trying to produce something which gives an impression that teaches something. As you said, it was used for the word became one that was, has become our word for poem. All right. Yeah. When you write a poem, you're not just writing something out. You're writing something to express something. So this idea of creating something which is expressive, which shows forth something. The other place that it's used is in Romans chapter 1 when it says that men should have known that God was there because his whole being is made known. His invisible attributes, they've been made known in the things which he created. And that's the word there, the things that he created. The creation itself isn't just there. It's not just good works. It's just not good things, but it is an expression of the personality, the character of God. And so so it's used there.
In that verse, I'll just read it because I think it's helpful. It said, Romans 1:20, and it says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made,"
right,
which is kind of that word, "so that they are without excuse." And one author says, here it takes about 5 English words to unpack that one word.
Right, yeah.
Which is things that have been made. And he goes on to say that all that we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell in the universe is reading God's creative masterpiece, his epic poem.
Right.
And it said Homer and Dante and Milton and Spencer were masterful poets as far as humans go. But at their best, their poems are merely human imaginations. But when God imagines, his images come into real existence, his poems are living and active and multidimensional.
Amen. Amen.
But I think that's a really beautiful way of summarizing like what it means. It's not just that you're a piece of work and God's like working on you like a car. It's like this really amazing, like he's writing a story. He is, and it's coming into life and he's breathing, this whole concept together, and it's you, and it's like what Paul's kind of communicating there.
Yeah, that when it again in Romans chapter 1, he just says that you can't miss God. That's what he's saying there. You can't miss him. You have to suppress the whole concept of God because of the clear way that this demonstrates who he is. He made creation to demonstrate who he was. Now he talks about us. We are his workmanship, and he has. He has a purpose to that workmanship. It's an artistic work. There is a pleasure, if you would, to God to do this. I mean, that's kind of people argue about whether you should use that word, but still, it is a thing which is, it's a delight to him to do this. Because when he does it, when he makes this, we become something that shows who he is. That's the purpose he's thinking about. He came in God as to deliver us from our problem of being condemned, but he didn't stop there. He not only brings us in and lets us live with him, he does a work in us which becomes his poem, as you said, his expression of who he is. And that's just a beautiful concept that we would be. And I think it's helpful for a lot of us who have, we've seen sin. We've known what it was to be wrong. We've known. And it's kind of hard to believe that God, at times, is for some people, that God even really cares. I mean, they know he loves them in a certain respect. But But the idea of workmanship, of him actually working with it, and that he is, as Tozer puts it at one point, that he's looking and he's seeing every day a person who's being more and more like his son because God's at work in it. That's a beautiful thought, that it counts, and it's not just trash that he's got over here, people that, yeah, okay, brought them kind of in. They're not just cans on a shelf. They're personal works that God did, yeah, and he does it not only for individually, but for the church as a whole.
Yeah, that's really good. I liked one of the things you just said, which was, we can maybe spend a little bit of time on it, is we have to choose to ignore God. Like,
right.
And I think that's a big, like, big concept, because so often people who are not Christians, they want to attribute things to a greater being or greater than themselves. Right. So they have all these different things that they attribute to, you know, the spiritual yep, realm of, yep, some kind, or, you know, yin and yang. Like, they have all, yeah, these different things that they can, like, oh, the cosmos is just telling me this, or,
right,
and it gets in their being that they know that there's something greater, right, than themselves. Yeah. And, yeah, do you want to, like, talk a little bit about, like, explain that, unpack that concept a little bit more?
Yeah, well, that's very important. I mean, to recognize, I mean, almost everyone talks about nature as if it has a godlike quality. Mother Nature,
true, yeah,
does. It's wise. Mother Nature is taking care of this. Mother, yeah, Nature is taking care of that. And they're admitting, when they say that, that God is right, that there is something in creation, in the world that's all around us, that screams at us that, mm-hmm, that I'm here and I'm great. And in order to go on in our own lives apart from him, we have to, that's what Paul says here, we have to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We have to push it down in our souls. And that's true for everybody. Everybody has to push it down. And so when God does a work like that, it becomes powerful. Now, he's done that in creation. And Paul, I think, here is saying, okay, he's done it in creation. Now he wants to do that again in the church. You want to create something in the church which demonstrates who he is and what he's capable of doing. And we become that. It's, mm-hmm, not just he does that in a generic way out here. It's personally he does that for each one of us. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, that's
it's terrific.
Now, when it says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, because it's describing, okay, us, we are the workmanship, and it goes on, mm-hmm, created in Christ Jesus. What is Paul communicating with that next phrase?
Okay. If you, whether you think about it in an exact form or in just a general form, he's saying that God had a purpose. And this is what, there's a whole lot of that in the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Hmm. That before I was ever created, God had purpose. He has a plan. That's what you're saying, the poem.
Yeah.
That I fit into a program. I'm part of a grand scheme. Not only am I, but every person,
yeah,
can put themselves in there who responds to Christ. And I'm part of this scheme. And that he has created me not, and it's not as if he creates or redeems a person and then, oh, what am I going to do with them? No, he redeemed them, and before he even redeemed them, he created them, and he had a place in mind for them, which, and that's what he's pointing out here. Not only are we to keep good works and do good works, but these are works, not just legal works like keeping the law, but they are things that I have to do and you have to do and we all have to do, which he had in mind before he ever saved us. Yeah. And so it carries the concept not just of doing good works, but of fulfilling, playing out the role.
Yeah.
Running the course. That's what Paul says at the end. I finished the course. If he looks back his life, I fought a good fight, but I finished the course. There were things I was supposed to do, and I'm done with them now.
Yeah.
I've kept the faith in the race. We run the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. But that race involves good works. It involves looking like God on this earth. and in that showing forth the glory of God. So there.
Do you think that those good works are specific things, or do you think that they're in, like, this is what you're, God plans beforehand. So like, this is like what you're supposed to do in your life. Or is it more so, this is what God has called you to be like Jesus Christ. And then in that, yes, like there's not an exact, because that goes into the question right. of like your future.
Right. Life. Yeah. Yeah. And to what degree direction. Is it, I tend to think that it has, there's two sides to it. So I'll say it and then I'll back out of it. Okay. So on the one side, I think God had a plan. He has a purpose. When Saul was called, and Ananias was sent to him, he says, Ananias, you're going to have to go, and we're going to have to tell him what great things he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. All right? So this is, he indicates there that God already knew what was ahead for Paul all the way through. When he talks to Peter in John chapter 21, he says, Peter, there's a day when you dressed yourself. There's a day when somebody else is going to dress you. You're going to end up here. And he said, and it's crystal clear there that said he was telling him by what kind of death he would glorify God. That was already set. I mean, so Paul and Barnabas, when they're called, set them apart for the work which I've called them to do. All right. So I believe that there are, that's just a plan for us. Yeah. All right. The other side of it is, that I don't think we need to get too caught up with trying to find that plan. What we do have to live out is what you're talking about, that we live it out by living like Christ in the circumstances we actually find ourselves. There isn't, even in the book of Acts, I believe that people can be guided, but I don't think that comes moment by moment. I think that comes in big moments. Most of it comes from right here. That's just, again, that's having looked at it, and that's how I look at it, that but most of it is, yeah, I'm to be like Christ in my family. I'm to be like Christ at the school here. I am to be like Christ in my community, in how I handle the government around me, all those things.
Yeah.
But God will, he's the workman. That's the beauty of this picture. He's the workman. I don't work this out. I don't have to try to accomplish it. I just to live as he would call me to live. But as I'm doing that, he's shaping it. He's shaping my life into what, it's kind of like the picture of Genesis where he takes the mud and makes Adam.
Yeah.
He shapes it. I mean, it's a picture of him kind of patting it in and then breathing into it life.
Yeah.
Adam was God's workmanship. It doesn't say that, but that would be the same concept.
Yeah.
So we are become his workmanship. He's shaping us and then he's breathing life in. And yeah, he has a purpose for us, but it's not my job really to hunt down what that purpose is day after day. It's that purpose is to be like the Word of God tells me to be like the Lord in the circumstances as they show up.
Yeah. I think that's a big thought, that like, what good works might God have prepared you to walk in today?
Right.
Because it might not necessarily be what you imagined it to be, but you know, you are presented with the circumstance right. of this frustration, like sitting in traffic, like
right.
you yeah. have no choice in that. Yeah. There you are. There's an accident or whatever right. ahead, and you're there and you're stuck. Like there's a circumstance and you have to choose. And in that you are to walk.
Right.
And so it's as simple as that, but then right. it's as great as like, this is what God has also predestined for your life, because right. there is that aspect of it that he
right.
has this plan.
Yeah.
I think the other part of it that's helpful is like the thought of the responsibility, which is right. that it's not on us. He's the workman.
Right.
And he's the creator, the creative and the artist. And so we simply are there. We're like
right.
the mud or the paint
right.
or the words on the paper. And so, there's not responsibility necessarily for us to create this whole thing.
No.
But at the same time, we are called to do something, and that is to walk in these good
right.
works. And
right.
so, yeah, I think having that, do you have any thoughts on like that responsibility?
Yeah, and I think that part is a it's a big part of what we have to keep in balance, that it has been planned and God is working that out. And it stabilizes us in the moments when it doesn't look like he's working it out. Because I know he is. I know he is. And I think, again, it's particularly helpful. And it's a great concern in my own heart these days. I'm deeply concerned for people who don't have the big place in the church, who think that they don't have a place in the church, who think that how their life doesn't really count a whole lot because they don't have, you know, if you're the pastor or, again, in my situation, I've had the privilege of speaking the word of God for 50 years. Okay, that's my privilege. But if I was in a different circumstance, I'm still the workmanship. And he's still putting it into place, and he's still working out the circumstances, and he still has a plan, and he's putting you into those, and that gives us a chance to display who he is. And that's the only way, because ultimately, okay, I know I'm to teach the word of God, but you don't have a whole lot of control over your life, even in a place like the school. All right, here. We don't have a whole lot of control. Who are the students? What are they going to do? Who are they going to be? What's going to happen to the staff? You know, what goes on? It's just like everybody else's life, you know. But in that, it's just, to me, a wonderful thing to be able to think that, hey, what looks like a mundane life in a very small place is actually ordered by God and is part of a great big scheme. That I'm finishing out my little part of what Paul started and Peter started. And that was the beginning of the stream. And now we're way down here. And all I have to do is be faithful in my part day after day.
And I think that's huge to encourage the people who are discouraged about where they are at in life.
Yep.
Or the person who thinks that maybe their life doesn't have any meaning.
Right.
Or any purpose. And those are struggles that Christians have, and
right.
So thinking from the perspective, like, your life matters.
Right.
And we've established that so many times, I feel like,
right.
But it's such a big, especially in our day and age when so many people struggle with these really big questions. And I think of like purpose,
right.
And identity, and social media kind of like fuels these conversations a little bit. And in our own heart as well. Like, and I think that the evil one has also used it in a big way to discourage people about their lives.
Right.
But the beauty of it as a Christian is that your life does matter and that God is working it out and he's writing the story. And it's not just unimportant, but right there in the moment, whatever you're doing is important to this story and to your life. And it's a good work in which God is using to glorify himself in.
So, amen. Yeah. And that's, I think it's one of the great verses. You know, but again, it does point to a lot of the things that I think that's a big problem in our day. You know, in my day, okay, you presented yourself just in society.
Yeah.
But in this day, it's all done by social media and the tendency to do exactly with social media what we did in our own private lives is to pretend that life is different than it is. Try to present ourselves as those that are more important because we think that people out there think we're important if we have all these things together.
Yeah.
But we're just regular people. Yeah. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to live out a life and to know that I just have to walk in the works that God prepared and I can rest in the fact that I'm his workmanship. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me lazy. I still have to fulfill. He's going to go on and tell you all I should do to fulfill it. But it does make me secure in it all. That, hey, I don't have to make something happen today. I just have to live faithfully in the circumstances that he creates.
Yeah.
As we've said many times, and I do want to just underscore it because it's important, I think, for so many people in our day. In times when we are of no use to this earth, we're still useful on this earth. Mm. Yeah. I mean, particularly older people, because people are living a long time now.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are in places where, okay, I mean, when people are living to 90 years of age, 90 plus years of age, and they're retiring at 65 years of age, that's a long time to be doing nothing productive. I mean, to be to be feeling like you're not part of society anymore. You don't count in the scheme.
Yeah.
But you do count if you're a Christian. Yeah. Your life always counts. And if you have, no matter what happens to you, you count. Yeah. That's why we respect life, because it always counts.
Yeah.
It always counts. And God could glorify his name in that, because he's working in it. Yeah. It's not because I can do anything, but he's working in it. He's shaping it.
I think, like, that point, like, we respect life because, like, God created this life.
Right.
And, like, and it matters to him. And so it should matter to us.
Right.
As a church, that's a big part of, like, yeah, realizing the value of every single person.
Right.
And every single member of our of our body is a big thing. So, yeah, I hope, like,
amen.
This is just an encouraging, thought-provoking, meditative passage and verse. Yeah, nothing you do today is unimportant in the grand scheme of what God is doing in your life and in the grand scheme of what he's doing in the whole world.
Right.
Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully an encouragement and a challenge to us today. Do you have any last-minute thoughts?
Yeah, I think the last word that I would put in there just to underscore what we've been saying is he says that he prepared the beforehand so that we should walk in them. And I think that that word walk here, because Paul uses it for just normal living.
Yeah.
So he just says, here, he's doing this great workmanship. All I have to do is walk in it. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is fulfill what today demands by living by faith in him. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's a big thought that, like, Jesus has, like, you walk, like, don't worry about tomorrow.
Like, right.
Today is, like, what you're not promised tomorrow.
No.
So, like, today is what you have.
Yeah.
And so living today as he calls us
Amen.
To is really. Well, thank you for listening to this podcast. As always, you can listen to all of our other previous podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcast and YouTube. And until next week, we will see you then. May the Lord bless you and keep you.